Praise the Lord for what he has done for each one of us and continues to do for us. And I know that Carolina and myself, we are grateful for the opportunity this church has given us to work and to share and to experience what church can be, what a church family should be. And throughout these past 10 years, we've had the privilege of working side by side with you, seeing you thrive for the Lord and dedicate your gifts and talents to God in the different ministries of our church. And Carolina and I recognize that what we've been able to experience is also because of those who came before us, yes, and prepared a solid foundation for the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we had the privilege of just coming behind and helping push forward. And I know that God will continue to move his church forward. Amen? Amen? And he will continue to lead each one of you so that we can come closer and closer to him. And by this, come closer to each other. Because that's God's plan, isn't it? That we come together, that we work together, that we press together and finish the work that he has given us, an important work, a work that Daniel the prophet would have wished to be alive, to see the things that you and I are seeing, that John the Revelator would have also loved to see and let us know, hey, that's exactly what God revealed to me on that island at Patmos. And so today we have the privilege, brothers and sisters, to study God's word, to learn from it, and to share what we know about Jesus with others. I'm so thankful to see Pastor Gerald Jones and Brenda Jones here this morning with their family, their grandkids. 10 years ago, I had the privilege of serving with him. And I was the associate pastor. And he was very open and transparent and shared with me a vision that he said, you know, Fallbrook, I could see Fallbrook just sharing the gospel through evangelism. Through public evangelism. And I remember hearing that from him and just keeping that in the back of my mind. With Brenda, they had the gift of seeing in others what many of us don't see in ourselves and encouraging us to pursue goals, to pursue what God has for each one of us. And Brenda, with her gift of music, We love to hear her play the piano and to lead out with our choirs. And so it was a beautiful opportunity for Carolina and myself to work with them for a whole year. And praise the Lord for what I was able to learn from him. Pastor Jeff and Nikhil came afterwards. And with a lot of enthusiasm, sharing with our youth and with our adults, the love of Jesus. And we were able to do evangelism here at Fallbrook for several years. And we saw how God, again, was using people to bring other people to the knowledge of Jesus. And what a privilege to see them come to this church. They got married here. They had their first son, Judah, here. And see their family grow. And we also grew with them. And after Pastor Jeff and Nikhil, Pastor Greg and Allison came, and they came also pushing forward. We had a VBS that summer, or that was last summer, and they jumped right in and said, what can we do to help? And we saw many families come to our VBS, many children enjoy a beautiful vacation Bible school. And when I've seen Pastor Greg visiting many of you and sharing with you the love of Jesus, and I know that by God's grace, they will continue to push forward and continue to encourage the church to come together. Pastor Ivan has been the one who has been here the shortest, but we've all come to love him. Amen? And we can see how God is moving in him and in also using his gifts and talents. And I can see the youth and how much they love you. And because of that, I know the parents do too. And I know tomorrow they're going to San Diego to do a 5K. And I can see the enthusiasm in our youth. At the end of the month with Brother Scott Hunter, some of our youth are going camping. They're going on a backpack hike. And so they're going to be enjoying nature. And I can just see our youth growing and enthusiastic to learn more about Jesus and the things that he has done here. I can see how God has blessed this church with each one of you. Artine and Lorraine have been amazing in our church office. We're grateful for what God is doing through each one of them. We have Sherry and Tim and Margarita and Antonio and Dale, Zach there, and and Bruce. Amen. And so many of our members, Curtis Brownlow, who do so much for our church and make it a place that we all enjoy coming and worshiping. Amen? Amen. We enjoy the facilities that we have. We praise God for the opportunity that he gives us to be able to minister to one another, to serve one another. And I could spend all morning here and part of the afternoon just sharing what God has done here at Fallbrook these past 10 years. And I am grateful from the bottom of my heart, and I know Carolina the same, to have been part of what happened here during this time. My wife, who you hardly see during second service, because she's usually in the fellowship hall. She's helping out in the kitchen. And talking with her, I know that she does not love to cook, okay? That's not something she likes to do. She doesn't. But she does well. She does it regularly, systematically. In fact, we get to try new dishes out at least once every 2 weeks. Praise the Lord for YouTube. Yes, it has all the recipes in the world. And so she learns, and she's always coming up with new dishes, and I enjoy her food. But here at church, I've seen her just really enjoy that time because she says, hey, it's a place where we can work together, where we can serve together. And to see the smiles in people's faces, to see the fellowship that goes on during these meals, and where people can just kind of open up and share who they are and what they do, and praise the Lord for church, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord that we can bring all these gifts and talents that we probably share at home. Many of us do it at work. Many of us are learning these gifts and talents at school or sharing some of them even at school. But church is a place where we can all come together and share the great things that God is doing in each one of our lives. And I see that Sabbath after Sabbath, week after week, what God is amazingly doing in each one of your lives and seeing the fruits of it. And praise the Lord for that. Amen? Praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he continues to do here at the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church. Church is a special place, brothers and sisters, isn't it? If it wasn't for church, Who knows where we would be? Who knows? If it wasn't for this place that has been placed as a refuge for those who work so many hours during the week, then you can come here and sing. You can come here and study God's word. You can come here and be encouraged by those who come here. What would happen to us? Where would we be if it wasn't for God placing church in our lives? And I think this is where I have it. I have a quote from Acts of the Apostles by Sister White that reads, "The church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of man. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. From the beginning, it has been God's plan that through his church shall be reflected to the world his fullness and his sufficiency." Can we say amen to that? Amen. Through God's people coming together, the world has the opportunity to see the fullness and sufficiency of the God that we serve. The members of the church, those whom he has called out of darkness into his marvelous light, are to show forth his glory. And today we were reading in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, that we ought to give glory to God. Amen? That we are invited to praise our God. And this glory that God's people share is his character, his love, his kindness, his patience. And brothers and sisters, that's something I've experienced here at the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church. I've seen God's character shining through you. And praise the Lord that we are invited to continue to show forth his glory. The church is the repository of the riches of the grace of Christ. Yes, this is a place where God's amazing grace is revealed. And through the church will eventually be made manifest even to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the final and full display of the love of God. Amen? The love of God is to be manifested where, brothers and sisters? Right here, in this very special place. The final and full display of the love of God. What does that look like? What does church look like to God? 2 weeks ago, we had the opportunity of studying Revelation chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to Revelation chapter 12. We'll read just one verse. And this is what John saw: God describing his people. "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." He saw his church as this beautiful human being, clothed with the sun, with the moon at her feet, with stars surrounding her head. It's incredible what God sees in each one of us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? It's incredible. God sees beauty. God sees perfection. God sees amazing things in his people. And in this same chapter, as we read 2 weeks ago in our Sabbath school lesson, It tells us that the church will go through difficult times. Is that correct? It tells us that there's a dragon who is upset with God, and because he can't do anything to God, he will try his best to destroy God's people, his children. And God, in his amazing love, tells us that even though this great and fiery red dragon is after this woman, God has provided a place in the wilderness that she should feed there for 1,260 days. The church in the time of John was experiencing difficulties and challenges. God's people before the coming of our Lord had experienced difficult and challenging times. And God, in his amazing love, told John that God's people would again suffer throughout history. And the book of Daniel tells us that God's people would also suffer persecution and trials and tribulation during the time of the end. Knowing all this, brothers and sisters, is it worth being in the church? Amen? Amen? All the difficulties and trials and challenges that we experience as human beings and that we will continue to experience, is there any other place that is better than what God has provided for us? There isn't. There is no better place. So God warns his people and tells them that this great dragon that has been cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he has come out with great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Acts of the Apostles also has this paragraph in that same chapter, the first chapter. Through centuries of persecution, conflict, and darkness, God has sustained his church. Amen? Amen. God has not one cloud has fallen upon it that he has not prepared for. Not one opposing force has risen to counterwork his work that he has not foreseen. All has taken place as predicted. He has not left his church forsaken, but has traced in prophetic declaration what would occur and that which his Spirit inspired the prophets to foretell has been brought about. All his purposes will be fulfilled. Amen? Praise the Lord that he continues to walk with his people. Amen? He does not forsake us. He does not leave us. And knowing that you and I would go through difficult times in the future, he promised to be with us and to sustain us. Amen? I had a friend who once shared with me his experience. He said, "Pastor Sam, I've been through one of the greatest or most difficult experiences anyone could go through." And he shared with me. And he said, "I don't know if I'm going to be in this time of trouble that Daniel and Revelation describe. But I've been through my good share of time of trouble. And something I can definitely say is that God has been with me. He has sustained me. He has not forsaken me. That is the God we serve. Amen? As many of you know, Daniel is a book that we have been studying for several years. And every time we have a meeting and we study for about 2 days, at the end, we share the results of our study. We share what other scholars, what pastors, what lay members have been studying. And they share in this group. And we've done Daniel 8 and Daniel 11 and Daniel 12. And we've done some parts of the book of Revelation. And every time we finish our study, and I've been coming back to Fallbrook, Betsy, who's here, says, "Well, what have you learned?" Yes, she asks that question. What have you learned that's new in Daniel chapter 12? What have you learned new in Daniel 11? And sometimes I tell Betsy, "Betsy, we're still studying. We're still working at it. There's so many things that we still don't know." But praise the Lord for His Word. Amen? That invites us to study it and to learn from it. Because, brothers and sisters, if there's something that God cares about, that is His people. Amen? He cares about His church. He cares about you and me. There's this quote that says, "Enfeebled and defective as it may appear, the church is the one object upon which God bestows in a special sense His supreme regard. It is the theater of His grace in which He delights to reveal His power to transform hearts." Amen? This is where we see what God does for His children. And in our study of the book of Revelation, we see how God shares with His people messages that will help them get through difficult times. As we study the book of Daniel, we see how God also shares messages that are there to encourage us regarding the times in which we are living. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12. Daniel chapter 11. We find here a message that Gabriel gives Daniel. It's an explanation of the vision that he saw in Daniel chapter 8, where he sees a ram, a he-goat with a notable horn that is broken into four smaller horns, and then a little horn that appears and puts aside the kingdom of Greece. In Daniel 11, you again see the sequence of kingdoms: Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome, who puts aside the kingdom of Greece. Now I'm going to invite you to go with me to the second part that I would call of this chapter, Daniel 11 and verse 21. Daniel 11 verse 21 tells us, "And in his place," in the place of this kingdom of Greece, this king that is above Israel and another king that is below it, the Ptolemies, "in his place shall arise a vile person to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue." In fact, historians tell us that Rome, the way it conquered Greece, was basically like this. You see those over there? They're wanting to attack you right now. Do you want some help? I can help you. Just let me come into your country. And the Greeks would say to the Romans, come on in, help us, because yes, this other nation is wanting to attack us. The Romans would come in and then settle in and say, thank you, we've now conquered you. And they did this time and time again. Every time they made a treaty, a contract, they did not keep their side of the deal. But they invaded in this manner many countries and many nations. Verse 22 tells us, with the force of a flood, they shall be swept away from before him and be broken. Yes, many of these nations fell before the Romans. And also the Prince of the Covenant. Who is the Prince of the Covenant, brothers and sisters? Jesus is the Prince of the Covenant. And we know that Jesus came during the time of the Roman Empire, and that it was at that time that Jesus gave his life for you and for me. Praise be his name. Amen? Praised be his name. Daniel continues, or Gabriel continues, telling Daniel the things that this nation, the nation of Rome, would do upon the world. And what we find is characteristics in verses 22, 23, and 24 of this power. Verses 25 through 29, we find how this nation also attacks the king of the south and basically defeats it. But not only does it attack the king of the south, but verse 30 tells us that it will also return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. And what we see about this king, this vile person, is that he also attacks God's people. Verse 31 tells us he attacks the sanctuary fortress. He takes away the daily sacrifice. He places there the abomination of desolation. And yes, Rome persecuted God's people, destroyed the city of Jerusalem in the year 70 AD, and also persecuted many Christians throughout history. Verse 35 tells us, and some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. In other words, God is telling his people, they will go through difficulties. They will go through persecution. They will go through trials. Verse 36 tells us that this king shall do according to his own will. And again, verses 36 through 39, it describes its characteristics. He shall regard neither the God of his father nor the desire of women. And we know who the desire of ages is. Amen? Who's that? Jesus. He will exalt himself. He shall honor a God of fortresses. Afterwards, in verse 40, it tells us, at that time, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. And we as Seventh-day Adventists believe that this happened exactly at the time of the end. In the year 1798, France attacked the Holy Roman Empire. It was a mortal wound. It fell. But it recovered. And it brought its allies back. And they fought against the Empire of France, or the French Empire. And they defeated Napoleon and all his armies. It says that he shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. That means he will also go after God's people during the time of the end. News from the east and the north, verse 44, shall trouble him. And brothers and sisters, I believe this is the gospel being preached around the world. Amen? This is the three angels' messages being shared with power throughout the entire world. This kind of news troubles the king of the north. And it says that he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. He shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. In other words, he will siege God's people. He will put a siege around God's people. But it tells us he shall come to his end and no one will help him. Is that good news, brothers and sisters? That's good news. In fact, it tells us how he comes to his end. Chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, at that time. You see, when Daniel saw this prophecy, when he heard about this, it was long time into the future. And Gabriel said, at that time, Daniel, the time of the end, many years from now. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that we are living in the time of the end? I believe we're living in the time of the end. We are living in these times that are being described here in Daniel 11:40 onwards. And Daniel receives this message. At that time, Michael shall stand, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that he does not leave us nor forsake us. He stands watch over his children. That's how God is being described here, brothers and sisters, as this great prince, this royal being that is also known in Daniel chapter 7 as the Son of Man, who approaches the throne where the Ancient of Days sits. Michael, Jesus, the one who is like God, stands for his people, and he delivers them. In fact, it says, everyone who is found written in the book is delivered. Do we want to be written in that book, brothers and sisters? I want my name in that book. And praise the Lord, Jesus is able to put each one of our names in that book. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Amen? In this time that we're living in, many shall awake who have passed away, who are now in the grave, and some to everlasting life. Amen? Praise the Lord for the hope that he gives us. Some others to shame and everlasting contempt. And in this time, Gabriel tells Daniel, those who understand, those who read God's word, those who study it, but above all, brothers and sisters, those who put it into practice, those who love each other, those who serve one another, those who are patient with each other, those who press together in difficult times, the Bible tells us that they will shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. God's people, in the time of the end, are described like this star that shines forever and ever. It can't do otherwise. It does what it was made to do. They lead many to righteousness. Is that something that our world needs to see, brothers and sisters? I don't know about you, but it's almost impossible to watch the news these days. Countries like Syria, countries like Venezuela, or natural disasters like we just saw happen in Alabama. Right? We are living in the time of the end. But in this time, you and I are invited to lead many to righteousness. We're invited to lead many to Jesus. And how do we do this? I believe we do this in how we love one another. In how we serve one another. Amen. In what our neighbors see us do. There's great peace in knowing Jesus, isn't there, brothers and sisters? There's great peace. I'm grateful to see some of our Bible workers, previous Bible workers here. Amen. CJ, Christian, and many like them that dedicated a whole year, some of them 2 years, to share the gospel, the good news, with some of us who are here today. And because of their work, we have hope. We have a blessed hope, brothers and sisters. A hope that this is not it. Amen? This is not it. And let me tell you that we are doing well here in the United States of America. Yes? That's obvious for us. But even in this great and beautiful country, bad things still happen, don't they? And I know that many of you as parents, you pray for your children every time they go to school. You pray for your children every time they go out to the park. As children, we pray for our parents every time they go out to do their shopping. Yes? We live in an unstable environment, a dangerous environment, even in this country. But we long one day very soon to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's gone to prepare a place for you and gone to prepare a place for me. I finished with this text from Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 6 and 7, that says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind. Does that seem impossible, brothers and sisters? To open the eyes to the blind. But what is impossible for man, for God, all things are possible. To bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. God has called his people today, his church, in these times in which we're living, in the time of the end, to be a light for the nations. And I want to praise God for the opportunity that you've given Carolina and me to join you and to share the good news of Jesus and his soon return. Do we want to continue doing this wherever we go? Let's continue doing this. Let's continue to be a light and to share the wonderful things that God is doing in each one of our lives. And to him be the honor and the glory forever. Amen.